The question today is, what keeps you from quitting the ministry? That's a good question. In fact, it's only the grace of God in one way, but I know there's more to it than that, because you see there's temptation on every side to quit. There's fiery darts. The devil sends to you and says, what's the use? Nobody's listening. You get disheartened sometimes because people won't heed what you preach. They don't listen. They sometimes asleep in the service, I guess you could say. And I guess some of you turn off the radio as far as listening to this message because you don't want to hear the truth. And if I knew about that, that would be grieving to me. Jesus was grieved because the people didn't respond to his preaching. And so as a result, but yet he never quit. And so therefore, by the grace of God, I pray that I'll never quit. We don't know what we will do. Somebody says, well, I'll never quit. That's what Peter said one day. They may deny you, Lord, but I'll die for you. But before the night was over, he'd already denied the Lord three times. And so you don't know what you'll do in any given situation till you get in it. But by the grace of God, I say I don't want to quit. I hear preachers all the time saying, I quit every Sunday night and resign every Sunday night, in essence, because of it didn't go like they thought it should. I have to be honest with you. I've not really been that way in my ministry. I know God called me. I know God's done a work, and I know he's put me in a place, and so as a result, I don't want to quit. But what keeps me from quitting is the question today I've been asked. What keeps you from quitting? Take more than one part to answer this, because Jesus is our example, by the way. He set his face steadfastly to, well, set like a flint, Bible says, in essence. He set it like he would to the cross, and he prayed the intercessory prayer on the way to the cross. I finished that you gave me to do. And on the cross, he said, it is finished. And so you see, he went all the way, and he didn't quit, and he's our example, so we don't need to quit. But get down personally, what keeps you from quitting the ministry is the question today. Well, let me read you Proverbs 29:18. The Bible said, where there's no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. First part of that verse is, where there's no vision, the people perish. Now, you can use this for many applications, and I know missionaries use it all the time about going to foreign soil. In context, it speaks of something different, but yet it can be applied to what I want to deal with today in this question, what keeps me from quitting the ministry? Well, this vision is a mental sight. In other words, we need to see something, and what keeps me from quitting is that I see something. But he said, they without a vision, where there's no vision, the people perish. Now, the word perish there means to let go, to let loose. You see, if you don't get sight of some things, you'll quit. You'll let go. You'll throw in the towel and quit. And I'll say the same thing about myself. So therefore, by the grace of God, I don't want to quit. I pray I don't quit. What we need to pray is, Lord, help me to see something that I not quit. Help me to have a mental vision, if you please, a mental sight of something or someone. Well, you say, what do you need to see? Well, when I see the Savior, our example, I say, by the grace of God, I don't want to quit. I see his journey. Our Lord Jesus traveled further than any missionary ever went, further than anybody else ever went, because he left the portals of heaven. He left glory, came down to this earth. Philippians 2, verse number 6 and 7 says of Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And so therefore he left glory, and he went further. He traveled further than any missionary. In fact, he always went further than his disciples did, even when he was going into the garden there in the Garden of Gethsemane. He left them inside the gate, eight of them, three of them went a little further, but he went further. The Bible says, Matthew 26:39, he went a little further and fell on his face and began to pray there. And in other words, that word further means to go forward, advance, to go before. And that's what Jesus did. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 15 says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So we see his journey, to see the Savior, have a mental perception of that, if you please, a mental vision, a mental sight. And it says, by the grace of God, I don't want to quit because I've seen the Savior. I've seen his journey, and then I see his job. You think about his job. Well, he was scrutinized, first of all. That means to be examined and look at carefully, just like the lamb was in Exodus chapter 12. That lamb was scrutinized for 4 days to see if there was a blemish in him. And so Jesus was scrutinized for all the 3 years plus, and he was in the ministry. And you see, after his baptism, he was turned over to the devil in Matthew chapter 4. And therefore he overcame by the word. It is written three times. The religious crowd, they scrutinized him. Pharisees and the Sadducees called him a blasphemer. Because he made himself equal with God. He was God. But they said he was a blasphemer. They said he was a sinner because he healed on the Sabbath day. You see, all he broke was their tradition, not the law. Also said that what he did by the power of Beelzebub. Give credit for the devil. Bad thing to do. And then Pilate scrutinized him. And in John chapter 18, verse number 38, he said unto him as he spoke to him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and said unto them, I find in him no fault at all. And then the scripture says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 21, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Thank God for his scrutinizing. He passed it. And when I see his journey, and I see his job and his scrutinizing, and then his suffering in his job. You think about what he says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 3. He says there in Hebrews 12, 3, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Now, that word contradiction means contention or rebellion. It means to speak against or opposition. And when he says consider means to think upon, consider attentively. And you realize something. He said, he consider him that endured this opposition, this contradiction of sinners. The word endured means to stay under, to remain, to bear up under, to remain constant, to sustain a load of miseries, in other words. He did that. Adversaries, his persecution, his provocations in faith and patience. That's what Jesus bore all of his earthly ministry, and he didn't quit. Amen? He didn't quit. So when I see him, his suffering as far as the contradiction of sinners. Then on the cross, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 2, he said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. In other words, there's the suffering of the body. Even before he went to the cross, as they beat him with, I don't know what exactly, it may have been a cat of nine tails, but the Bible said in Isaiah 52, his visage was so marred, you couldn't have told he's a human being. He suffered in sin, as my sin and your sin was placed upon him there on that cross from about 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock. And by a miracle of God, he paid our sin debt by, I don't understand it, but he paid it as it was placed upon him. He paid an entire suffering of an eternity in hell by that miracle of God that day. And then we see the shame there, the disgrace. He was completely nude as he hung up there on that cross. And so you realize that means as despising the shame means that the feeling which leads one to shun what is unworthy out of a prospective anticipation of dishonor. He despised it, but yet, and that word despise means to think against, but yet he didn't quit. He endured that as well. Then I think about the sprinkling of the blood. That was his job. He went there and sprinkled his own blood in the Holy of Holies in heaven, in the presence of God, and satisfied a holy God. Then his job was to sit down to make intercession. He's doing that today. Hebrews chapter 7, verse number 24 and 25. But this man, talking about Jesus, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he's able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Intercession means to plead the cause of. He pleaded my cause. And therefore, he said he's saved to the uttermost. That means to completely, full-ended, entire. And I not only see his suffering, and I not only see his job and his journey and his job, but I see his joy when I think about the Savior. Hebrews chapter 12, again, verse 2, he said this, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Now, folks, it's not saying that joy was the cross was joy. No, no. It was saying the joy set before him. That word joy means cheerfulness, delight, gladness of heart. It means that word set before it speaks of what Jesus knew that would have been awaiting him beyond the cross. And there's two things. In other words, it's waiting. Joy refers to the honor and glory he'd have once again at the right hand of the Father after being absent from that for 33 and a few little over 33 years. It refers to the joy, in other words, of sharing in the victory of all those redeemed by his blood as he presents them to his Father. And by the way, there's even joy now when a person's saved. The Bible speaks of the parable in Luke chapter 15. And that parable is dealing with the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. Now, talking about a backslider, that's improper doctrines being used in our Baptist churches today, used wrongfully. But in context, Luke 15 is talking about lost sheep, lost coin, and lost son. And the Bible said in Luke 15, verse 7, when the sheep was found, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. And then when the coin was found, verse number 10, it said, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Now, where's the joy coming from? Somebody said, well, the angels rejoice when a person gets saved. Not so. Angels look into it. They don't understand being saved by grace through faith. They're not saved. They're not saved like man is. And so, therefore, Jesus didn't die for them. So, they don't understand what they got to rejoice over. So, it's not the angels rejoicing. In fact, it says joy in the presence of the angels. Some said that's the saints of God rejoicing. Well, it could be. Because I don't know all that man knows on the other side. But when people have prayed in this life and then man is saved, I believe the Lord some way lets them know that so-and-so got saved. And they'll rejoice over that at that time. But in context, the joy, the rejoicing is the Father rejoicing. You see, the Son came home and the Father rejoiced. And the lost son, that which was lost, is found. And that goes with the sheep and also with the coin. So the Father's rejoicing and Jesus is right by his side, you see. So Jesus knew that cup he had to drink of. He had to drink of it for anyone to be saved. But he did it for the joy that was set before him. And thank God he didn't quit. And since I see him, his job, his journey, and his joy, hey, by the grace of God, I don't want to quit. I want to keep on keeping on. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.